that can be utilized. But God will help us to do that. Okay, so now we move on. Taking a little while here. So developing skills. All right. Unless you are in a lecturing, teaching situation, such as I am right now, you must always be ready to listen. Okay, if nobody was in here, Francis, it was just her and I talking. Okay. I would do myself and I would do her a disservice by commandeering the conversation like commandeering it here. Group situations are a little different. For one thing, if we were all right now making the points, it could be very interesting and we could grow. We wouldn't have done the lesson, that's understandable. Okay? But it could go any number of paths and we might lose our way, per se. But if I'm sitting and talking to Francis, then catch this, because this is huge. It's just as important. If I'm going to communicate something to her, it's just as important that I let her be communicating to me, because she's not wasting time. She's communicating to me. I'm not wasting time, because in the process of communicating, okay, that can also be helping her to get her thoughts lined up or in a group. She's asking me questions, she's making statements, so that I will learn something. Don't ever think you're not going to learn something from a human being. I don't care who it is. I'm going to make a statement here. We love him. I mean, he was very confined to a certain situation. But dear Brother Raoul, you know Brother Raoul, okay? And he's hard to even understand when he speaks. But I've never really sat and had a conversation with Raoul. But I'm telling you, I didn't learn something. I didn't learn something, let alone other people. So if you are lecturing, okay, it's a little different, but generally speaking, especially one-on-one, you must always be ready to listen. Okay, proper friendly deportment is always in order. The Preston read first Proverbs 18 and 19.
A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle.
Meaning, in the process of communicating, if you make them mad, like, how can you be so stupid and not know what I'm telling you? Well, they're not going to be really up to hear what next comes out of your mouth. You've already brought up bars and contentions. And they're more interested in putting you in your place than they are listening to anything you have to say. Okay? And I won't even ask for a show of hands if anybody you get to a point in an argument, there ain't nobody listening to nothing. All they want to do is get out what they got to say, but you ain't listening, and they're not listening. So it's an exercise in who's got the best set of lungs, you know, or the roughest faced or whatever, but there's very little game done. Okay, so proper friendly deportment is always in order. And you can ask my wife, she'll tell you, I've never done that in my life. I'm so teasing. Okay, but you catch yourself. You catch yourself. And I'll tell you what, even in times when I've been, it's like I had one nerve left. Okay. Can I tell you one of the best ways to get your point across is apologize. One of the best. Hey, I'm sorry. I really am. And while you say that, you say, you really know that's all. But you, okay, not that you're lying, but you're sorry for the fight. Okay? In the process of humbling yourself, you are also taking down their defenses, whether it's your spouse or your best friend or whoever it is. In the process of humbling yourself, immediately the bars, the doors start getting unlocked, the bars. And if you handle it right, maybe they'll even come to your point of view. Maybe even better, you might see the light. So it's important. Okay, there is no enabler greater than the Holy Ghost who is interested in your entire being, your entire life. He's interested in your life because you represent Him. Because you represent Him. Okay, now I'm going to make a statement right here. Okay, listen. Use the words your entire life right here. And immediately there's a part of us that's wincing, cringing, you know, because we know ourselves. We're humans, okay? And okay, you're young. I'm not even opening my eyes. Some of the stuff I'm about to say, I'm going to say, not at the next youth service, but somewhere, I'm going to talk to the entire youth group. You're young. You want to live for God. I don't care if you're 80, you still have this excellency in an earthen vessel. Okay? So, what a shame to have something beautiful as the Holy Ghost inside of a human being. But that's what He chose to put it in. So here you are, you're a human being, you're young, your body's changing, you're going through all kinds of changes, you're wondering about all kinds of things. And one of the easiest things to get, there's a high wire you got to walk in that don't let condemnation throw you to the bottom of the ocean so that I'm just no good. I'm just rotten. He wants my entire life and my brain gets so messed up sometimes and my body fights me and all kinds of stuff. You're not going through anything God don't know all about. And He's known about it since the entire history of man. And things you struggle with, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, John the Baptist, Apostle Paul, I don't care who it is. And in His own way, Jesus Christ had to struggle with these things. So your humanity is not taking Him by surprise. And guess what? He loves you. And He'll help you work your way through life. He really does. He knows where you're at. And He knew this before He called you. He knew this before He gave you the Holy Ghost. All right? And still, the Holy Ghost helped you. And He wants to help you communicate and enable and help others. And as you do so, you're growing. So these are all skills that get developed and are huge. Okay, next. Now there are things that cripple communication, lack of knowledge of subject matter, such as if you were all 16 and 17 year old boys and you had cars and things weren't working and I was sitting here trying to tell you how to fix an engine, I would be sorely crippled because I don't know nothing. Okay, and you would know pretty quick, this guy's an idiot, he don't know what he's talking about. So if you, but we would get someone in here that knows that kind of stuff. So a lack of subject matter can obviously cripple. Arrogance always cripples. I don't care if you know everything there is to know about a car. Or the Bible. Or whatever it is. Or math or science or whatever. And there's an arrogance. A condescension. A pride. And that's hard to take. It's like, I wish that guy trip over a cord or something. So it makes it harder for people if there's arrogance. Here's another one. And this is not easy to control, but it is big. Okay? Revealing one's fear or intimidation. And you say, but I am scared. I am intimidated. Well, welcome to humanity. Okay? Let's just say that I was about I'm going to the pulpit to preach. Let's go to Matthew 4 chapter. There ain't nobody having fun. Because you're hurting for me. It's like, oh my God, that poor guy. He's good. Okay, but if you're feeling that way, you know, let's go to Matthew, the 4th chapter, dude. So there's just a confidence. Okay. Well, folks, I'm here tonight. I don't have any idea what I'm doing, and you're fixing to find that out. But I'm going to tell you what let's do. Let's go to Matthew, the 4th chapter. And all of a sudden, And you go to Matthew 4 chapter, and the word is Boanerges, but it's 3-4 words pronounced. Boanerges is the way I'm going to pronounce it tonight, because I don't have any better sense. And so there's just if there's just a little certain confidence. Even in confidence, no confidence, portraying a little bit of confidence, even when you don't feel confident, it's an art. And so you can make the best out of a bad situation so that people are riding with you. And that's what you really want. You want them to ride with you. You want them to ride with you. But improper use of words or grammar can hinder. It can hinder. So the more you can learn about usage of words and pronunciation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and no one's going to get everything down on that, but you just do the best you can. Another thing that hurts is dull subject matter. I think what I'm talking about tonight is so everybody can relate to it that it's not a dull subject matter. It can be. You know, I could make this so dull tonight that nobody could stand it. What you have to do is, you know, you open your mouth and speak and form words and it is okay. But dull subject matter, if it's something that's interesting, and good subject matter presented dully. But the key to this is by reason of use. By reason of use. Okay? I'm going to give you a little statement here that to me is huge. Okay? I've written 4 books. Which, at my stage of life and how it's stupid. I should have written so much more. I'm mortified. And hopefully I'm going to write more. In 2002, finally put out my first book. I had tried to write many times before. Many times I had tried to write. There was always something new that I wanted to write. And I couldn't ever get past the first paragraph. I would get so frustrated. I just want to walk the paper and throw it away. And mentally I did, because I wouldn't go back to it. Well, somebody gave me 2 cassette tapes. About something, how to write or something. I don't remember anything on those tapes. They were good. I'd probably get a whole lot more of them today than I did then. But there was one statement. When I heard that one statement, I'm telling you, the shackles fell off. I was like a bird set out of a cage. It said, you have a story in you. You want to get it out. What happens? He said, you write a sentence. It's not coming out like you read. You got all this emotion and you write this stupid sentence and then you're done with the paragraph. And then you want to fix it because that ain't what you want. And he said, And so by the time you get that paragraph, you forgot all the rest of your story, and you're so frustrated, and you say, it's going to take me 30 years to write this stupid thing. And so you give up. And that's what when they said that, I had done that. God knows how many times. And I said, forget all that. Forget spelling. Forget punctuation. Forget syntax. Forget anything. Get the story out. Don't worry about how it spells, how it sounds. Worry nothing about anything. Just get the story out of you. Once it's there, it's like God without the world was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. Then he is forming and he's separating waters from the waters. He's doing. And what you do, you've got this manuscript. You can edit 1,000 times. You can go back and actually, be honest with you, editing's fun. I've come for me, editing something I've written is really fun. But to get it out, for me, I've been totally alone by myself to where I'm consumed with it, and it just pours out. When you get interrupted, when you're really into something deep like that, if you're working really hard, you may have noticed this, you're really intent, and somebody says, hey, or your phone rings or something. Okay, yeah, what? To get back to where you were, it's going to take you 20 minutes to get back to that level of concentration. Okay? And when you are to that level of concentration, the most you can stay at that level is about an hour. And you come up for air automatically. And this will take you 20 minutes to get back. So, if I've got something I really want to write, phone's off, I hide, I can't be interrupted. I get it out of me. When it comes to editing, I can edit in this room. If I'm not called upon to say something, I can edit in this room. I can change this sentence, I can change that word. This sounds better, a comma there, an ah. Okay? Well, it's the same way, like speaking. We'll get into this real quick. What time do I need to stop here? 10 till?
Usually 7, but anytime.
Okay, good.
5 to 7.
Tips for effective communication. This is huge. Practice speaking in private. Okay. The first time I was ever asked to speak, so I basically gave my testimony. And the second time, a few months later, he wanted me to speak, preach a message. Okay? And some of you have heard me say this. I got up and I preached a message on the unjust steward. I'm not, please understand, I'm not begging. People that were there, small church, they were blown away. Okay? I'm not bragging, because I'll tell you the rest of the story. I said, wow. I mean, the thought content and the way he delivered it. What they did not know. What they did not know. Well, I found the message thought in a book. It was a great thought. And I thought, ooh, that's a good thought. That was the first time. I mean, that wasn't the last time. I've done it thousands of times. When I'm teaching tonight, I didn't come up with all the information I want to give tonight. I found it. Okay? So I simulated, I wrote it down. I wrote it down almost verbatim. What they did not know is that, I think it was 2 or 3 nights before I was supposed to speak, nobody was in the church at all by myself. I had a little light there. I stood on the pulpit. I pretended everybody was there. And I went through the message, and I did it again and again and again, and then I did it again and again and again the next day. And so by the time I had gotten up to preach, I had preached it so many times. I had quasi well home. I was very, very familiar with the material. And they thought, And that stuff just drips out of you. I was submerged in it, eating it, drinking it, sleeping it. And so then, that's what came out. I had no idea, all the preparation. Okay? Winston Churchill would do that all the time. Winston Churchill was known in the House, British House of Commons. He was a master. He had a little lisp. If you ever listen to some of his speeches, Winston Churchill had a little lisp. He had overcome that. He had embraced himself. Forget that lisp. Get this across. People thought he would stand up in the House of Commons. No one was in front of him. And he would give this speech and answer to something. And they thought, this guy's a master parliamentarian. What they didn't know, there wasn't a word coming out of his mouth he had not memorized verbatim. He had it down, and he had a repertoire of any given moment, maybe 5 to 10 speeches he'd never yet given that he continued to refresh himself. And when someone would hit this trigger and it was time, he would rise and people Now some people didn't have to do that. There was a British Prime Minister named William Pitt. He just had the time. William Pitt was an orator's dream. He was one of the rare people that could, but he was so knowledgeable, so confident, so he just interesting. Okay, one of the things too is read out loud to yourself to help your speech. Okay? 2 things about reading out loud to yourself. I don't recommend you do it in the presence of your family. He said, will you shut up? Go to your room. Okay. But Abraham Lincoln would read to himself. First and foremost, when he read out loud to himself, it helped him memorize. Because he's not only reading it, he's also hearing it. So he's reading out loud, and it helped him keep what he was reading better. And I'm trying to, and it really does work. Also, and sometimes, and this is, thank God, I will do this with Joel, I'll do this with other boys, my boys. I will get a good thought, and they will do it. And I'll say, hey, I want to run something right. And they know what I'm doing. Here's a thought, and I verbalize it to them, and they know why. By the mercies of God, they think it's interesting. But also, when I verbalize it, it helps me remember it. And Joel does the same thing with me. It helps us remember it when you verbalize something. Don't be squeamish again. Nobody wants to hear it. Yeah, they do, actually. Continually enlarge your vocabulary. Be learning words all the time. If possible, practice with someone else willing to help you who also needs practice. Let's just say that a couple of you want to teach Bible studies. Here's one of the greatest things you can do. You teach a Bible study to this person and let them teach it to you. And you're going back and forth teaching each other Bible studies. You get it down. Mm-hmm. You get that down. And now you're teaching Bible study to someone and they don't know anything about the Bible. Very, very little. And it's much easier. Okay? As much as possible. Thoroughly bone up on the subject matter and then let it out as conversationally as possible. Edmund Burke and Winston Churchill. As I've already said, Edmund Burke was one of the great. He was a minister in Parliament during the American Revolutionary War, before and after. He was one of the few that was on the revolutionary side. He said, "England's brought this on yourself. You've done this," and he tried to reason with him. He wouldn't reason with him. But Edmund Burke, if he was going to speak on a subject, he would go to the lectern with almost no notes ever. But he had read it and reread it and read it and reread it and read it. Not that he would get up and give you a quoted verbatim speech, but he was so familiar with the facts that he could quote them in his sleep. And then he would just speak naturally as to what drifted into his mind while he was speaking. Okay? So whenever you read a gripping or powerful thought or statement, write it down, keep it, and if possible, memorize it. don't ever read something that you think is so good. Oh, I'll never forget that. Trust me, you will really forget. It'll be rare if you know that you have a photographic memory. Okay, next. Suggested reading. Read or listen to great speeches in history. Read or listen to anything in the Bible. And there are great speeches. There are great speeches. And you can listen to them. You can listen to them. You can read them. And let me help you. Homework. Everybody be ready to quote a Bible verse of your choosing in as interesting a matter as possible, such as, Jesus wept! Okay, you know, try to do it a little better. Just two words. Okay, next. Exam. And Preston, you take it from there.
Thank you very much.
We love everybody.
All right, you guys can go ahead and take your online exams. And I told a few of you before class started, but our homework from last week will also carry over. So if you weren't able to finish homework from last week, you have another week to do that, since this homework is just going to be memorization and verbal next week. So be ready next week to quote a verse, and you guys are good to go. Thank you for coming.
I enjoyed it.
Pastor Booker.
Thank you very much.
Bless you all. You good people.